Kapanen wins the draw. Kulak and Erste, the D pairing. A lead pass. Kapanen has an empty net and pokes it home. Empty netter, Kasperi Kapanen. Edmonton extends to a 3-1 lead with 2:27 to play.
And it is now a 3-1 series after the 4-1 W last night in Edmonton. Oilers radio with the call. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Peyton is given the thumbs down instead of the fist pump as he is not happy with his hockey team. This thing feels over.
It does. It feels as over. It feels like it should be over because they should have won game 1-2. The way it shook out. They should have won game 1 as well. They outplayed the Stars for the most part in game 1. But the Stars are lucky to be down 3-1 for the most part. So they've got a chance still, but my gosh, it feels as over as it possibly could.
Yeah, it feels pretty final. You read earlier what Dallas is 0-16, 0-17 when they're down 3-1.
0-16.
And then Edmonton's 17-1, I think, when they're up 3-1. So, yeah, this is you're working against a little bit of history here. But, you know, I think Reitma's going to bring all that energy to the AAC, pump everybody up tomorrow. Look, it's one game at a time, baby. Get to 3-2, and then we build from there. But, yeah, it's done.
Look, it was the best game of the series, thoroughly entertaining. Again, after these Stars' first periods, the national commentators are like, you shouldn't feel bad. You may not be winning on the scoreboard, but you shouldn't feel bad if you're Pete DeBoer. The first three goals came via the power play in this game. And the Stars, they had 18 shots. Now, it could have been 15, 18. I don't know who tracks it and why it's different of what, you know, constitutes an actual save. But the point is, they were more than active in that first period coming out the right way. They just can't finish and score. They can't actually put the puck in the net like the Rangers a couple weeks ago with runners in scoring position.
Nope, they can't, and that's a problem because obviously you can't win without scoring, and you're not going to win games 1-0, and you're probably not going to win a whole lot of games 2-1 even, the way the playoffs have shaken out over the last several years where, you know, teams are scoring more. They're scoring more now than ever, and a 2-0 lead has never been smaller than it is in today's NHL. It's just the reality of it, and the Stars haven't been able to get the goals, and that's something that's disappointing because they're so skilled. They are so skilled, and they are so fast, so athletic as a team. They're just getting beat. They're getting out physical. Now, the Stars had some aggressive moments in the first period. You know, that hit on Perry where Perry had to leave the game, and it looked like he got his wind knocked out of him.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like, finally, man, you're taking some shots. But they're still not the aggressiveness. I don't know. Is it they're not soft?
But the hits at one point were 43-18.
It wound up being 50-24 or something like that. They more than doubled them up.
I was gonna say, you mentioned the sort of like the runners in scoring position thing. Like when you hear people describing, well, look, they won the period. They're losing because it just hasn't come together. It feels so much like the way we talked about Jock Peterson at one point this year, where it's like, man, he's hitting the ball really hard. His approach is nice. It's just, you know, nothing's going on. It's like, right, well, at some point I'd like to see, like, the ball land between the outfielders. Like, can I get that, like, every once in a while?
Jamie Benn's trip leads to the first power play goal. Draisaitl, I don't know how he scored from that angle on that one-timer. Like, I want to blame Ottinger a lot, but do you just credit Draisaitl's greatness from that angle?
That's it. That's him. They even said there's very few guys. He might be the only guy in the whole league that makes that goal right there. He's tremendous. Like there's a reason that they're there every year. They've got two of the three best players in the whole world.
The Stars trail again. That has now happened in 14 of their 17 playoff games. Outscored 10-0 in the first period on their road games combined. So they're losing the first period, and they're getting worked on the road. Hyman then gets injured. There's your break, and you have news coming in.
Yeah, this is from our guy Jason Greger, who we had on the show last week. He says Hyman will not play in Game 5 tomorrow. Still waiting to see if he'll return later in the playoffs. Sounds like it's unlikely he returns this series. Other people are saying, you know, perhaps that he can avoid surgery. We'll see.
Robertson, power play, upper left corner, tied it. Well, that felt good to get him. He was technically off the schneid, whatever a schneid is. after not realizing that he scored in the previous game, he did not care. But upper left corner ties it. And then Mason Marchment, interference, Edmonton power play, and Corey Perry taps it in off another Hopkins assist. So that was Nugent Hopkins' second assist. He's kind of been, I feel like, their X factor in the series. And then in the third, the Dallas Stars get off four shots. When you combine that with their shot attempts in the previous game, that makes it seven shots. Three shot attempts in the previous game, four shots yesterday. That is nowhere near enough.
By the way, a schneid is from gin rummy. You know, remember that card game, gin rummy? Yeah. A schneid is a loss where you have 0 points.
Okay.
That's what the schneid is.
Okay, so I'm going to do something realistic. I'm going to do something without trolling, Sean. And I'm going to reference Money Puck in a very legitimate way. But this is frustrating. So this is the likelihood. The bigger the circle, if you look at this, Sean, the bigger the circle, the more likely it is percentage-wise that your shot should go in. And if you look at those circles of the star shots, they have a bunch of there that are like 60% likelihood it should go in that Skinner's stopping. They get one of those in, Robertson's. But otherwise, like a lot of these goals for Edmonton, it's these really small chances that they're just getting lucky bounces or something's going in, or it's the drysdale angle. But Dallas is getting a lot of opportunities that say you should be getting goals. You should be collecting goals here.
And then when you're desperate, right, you're about to fall down 3-1. Series basically over. Granlund gets the penalty with 5 minutes left. So you're a man down.
Killer.
And when you're in desperation mode, two empty netters, ball game.
Yeah, that was the killer because you knew that at some point, you're down 2-1 in the series, you're down 2-1 in the game, you might go empty net a little earlier because you really have nothing to lose because you know if you go down 3-1 in the series, it's pretty much over. So they might have, where they normally would go empty net with maybe 2 minutes to go, they might have gone empty net with 3.5 to go. We don't know. And we'll never know because they weren't put in that position because they were already at 3-minute mark when they got off the power play. But it was a most inopportune time to take a penalty.
The Dallas Stars with two goals in their last four road games. So on the road, first period and game ones. Game ones going back to last year, but on the road and in the first period, they are losing. And that's been a consistent thing. And Tyler Seguin, after the game, says this feels pretty similar to last year.
I know how it kind of felt. You know, it felt a little bit like last year in a way. You know, game six, feeling like we're doing everything but putting the pill in the net. So, fortunately, we have an opportunity where we can come back here. You know, maybe we deserve a little bit better, but playoffs doesn't necessarily care about what you deserve, right? You gotta force the bounces and make the bounces happen by working. And, we're just one player, one shot away right now.
Did everybody get too comfortable with, like, you remember you asked after game one, you were like, oh, is this, should you just be happy you won, or should you be paying attention more to some of the flaws? Like, we are a few weeks removed from them losing 8 in a row. Like, Mikko had to turn in an all-world performance to them even get out of the first round. The second round, they beat Winnipeg, but like Hellebuck had shown he was having a ton of issues in critical high leverage situations. Like, did we start buying into things that like maybe some of the stuff on the periphery should have told us a little bit more? Like, Edmonton's going to give you a bigger problem than you're anticipating.
I mean, look, Edmonton's a really good team. I mean, we knew they were going to give us problems.
But I don't think anybody thought they'd be down 3-1 and should have gotten swept.
No, I don't think so. Not the way the Stars are playing coming into this.
You're trying to trace it back to the end of regular season.
Did we feel like any smoke and mirrors a little bit? Like, it took a miracle performance to win game seven. Hellebuck was having problems. Did that give you, did that boost you more than it should have?
I think it's a fair question. I would personally say no. That's so far out of sight, out of mind. In my opinion, you know, Walchuk had a really nice breakdown on this yesterday. And at the end of the conversation, he said, maybe they just have your number.
Yeah.
It could be as simple as that. Maybe, and this is my analogy, so I don't want to give Zach credit for it. Maybe there's the San Francisco 49ers to your Dallas Cowboys. Maybe. I don't know.
They could be. Look, they're really good.
Skinner certainly has your number relative to the rest of his career.
And we all got that. That was the most wrong thing that we got incorrect about our predictions going in, that they would have this tremendous goaltending advantage.
Just like last year. Same thing we said last year, same thing happened.
Stars fans will, you know, they're not turn on Otter, but like there's this faction of the Stars fans are like, all right, look, he does not late in the playoffs, like the further you get,
yeah,
he doesn't step up. Skinner's kind of the opposite. Skinner steps up the further he gets into the postseason. And I don't know if he concentrates more or what, but and I don't think it's Otter's concentrates less. It could just be happenstance. But yeah, I mean, listen, they did ride at the end of that Colorado series. You know, they rode Rantanen, and they rode him in the beginning of the Winnipeg series.
Like they probably should have lost Game 7 against
yes,
the Avs.
Yes, they should have. Mm-hmm. They should have. They should have been out in round one.
It took a miracle performance.
It really did.
From one individual.
And then didn't they get a... was it Granlund that had the other hat trick?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they had like a hat trick, like three or four games. That just doesn't happen, right? It's just like they were on a run, and now they've kind of gone cold.
Reitma Tech said the scoring on 5% of high danger chances versus scoring on 14% of high danger chances before this series is the most telling stat, I think. Pepe, what are the Tolos saying?
469 here says, I'm just wanting the Stars to go ahead and lose tomorrow, get their season over with. Another 469 says, the problem is the Stars play better for a whole period, but don't score. And the 972 says, the team is young and our cup window is still 2 to 4 years.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely set and built.
Yeah. Now, there was a lot of stuff written before the year, like, if not now, when? Like, this is it. This is the year for them. Because, look, they did pay Rantanen. You know, they do have guys they're going to have to pay. What are you going to do? And so, now, look, you are getting some of those vets that they are getting old. You know, like Tyler's getting old. Ben's getting old. So you do have some youth, though, but you are going to have to pay him. And can you keep them all?
All right. Shout out to the Wooly Bully for listening. Don't know whether he wore the mullet or whether he's going to another game to mass text his wife as she is lighting his ass up. He was laughing yesterday during the segment after Bobby did the phone zoom in on the paragraphs that were being written as Zach was attending the game solo.
I was way too buzzed to hold it steady to actually get a clear shot of what was being written.
And are you going tomorrow night?
Yep, I think so. I think that's what it's looking like right now. So I'll be there loud and proud and smashing the glass and everything else.
Rangers win. We'll talk about it with Brett Boone, the Rangers hitting coach at 9:20. But this was also taking place.
8 seconds to shoot. Near corner, McConnell. Back to top and right edge. On top to Halliburton. Here comes a long, 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 long three.
Was it long? Pacers radio with the call as Indiana, behind Tyrese Halliburton's 30-point triple-double, take the 3-1 lead over the New York Knicks. And I have ended up feeling happy. Even though I love watching the games in the Garden, I'm happy that the Knicks are about to get put out.
Yeah, I am too. Happy that we don't have to see Ben Stiller and Spike and Chalamet anymore. We don't have to see it. You know, just get them out of here. Get rid of them. Wrap this thing up at 5. Rick Carlisle to the NBA Finals, baby.
Wow, and tomorrow or Friday, we're going to have the discussion. We got Luka regret, Brunson regret. Where is the Carlisle regret? I got the odds from Bet Online. The favorites to win the championship.
The Thunder.
The Thunder are minus 400. The Pacers are 5-1. The Knicks are 11-1. The T-Wolves are 25-1. Exact NBA Finals outcome, Thunder beat the Pacers. And then exact games, I don't have that. So Thunder over the Pacers is 5-7. Thunder against the Knicks is 9-4. But Tolo, Chris Navarre, you know, the internet will compute all the historical stats, and this shows who's going to win the championship. Weeks ago, he sent me a guy doing all that stuff, and I just skipped to the end, and it said Oklahoma City's going to win the championship. Even when we were doubting them,
yeah,
and they were in a little bit of trouble.
I mean,
that's the way it looks. It looks like this thing is done and over.
They were struggling with Denver. Denver had a chance to put them away. They didn't. They didn't take advantage of it. And now it's the Thunder.
Boy, this will be media market 25 versus 47 for the NBA. As opposed to if they would have gotten Minnesota. I didn't know. Minneapolis is 16. It would have been 16 versus 1 if they got New York and Minneapolis.
And I'm happy at any possibility of Adam Silver suffering after he got that cupcake put right in my face. Brett Boone not going to be suffering as much this morning because his team got the W with some runs on the board. Let's talk to the Rangers hitting coach on your official home of the Rangers next.
Here's the pitch. A swing, a line drive, a base hit, center field. Haggerty, and a score. and the Rangers lead 1-0.
Eric Nadel, the Hall of Famer, with the call on this radio station. That is because we are your official home for Texas Rangers baseball, and they got the 2-0 win yesterday with the bullpen really covering up. And I think being the story of the day after the Nate Eovaldi injury, which is supposedly precautionary, according to our insider, Jared Sandler. Every Wednesday at this time, every hump day, the Rangers' new hitting coach, Brett Boone, kind enough to join us on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, man. How are you?
Good. You hear me all right?
I hear you all right.
Good. Good. Good.
Where are we won.
Yeah.
Hey, man. I said that earlier in the show. Watching you, you look like you are pent up over there, leaning on that rail. When I see a run come across, I'm not even seeing you smile. I feel like I'm seeing relief. What are you feeling over there these days?
It's been a run for sure. You know, so early in this tenure for me, I've seen both. We rattled off 6 in a row, and it felt good. And we've lost 6 in a row, and it felt like cripple as bad as the 6 in a row to win felt. So I'm still getting used to all this, the emotions and you know, the prep work that goes in behind the scenes, and a lot of these guys, some of the guys are working really good, and it doesn't translate to the field. And all of a sudden I can take a step back and go, okay, I remember when I was playing and when I was going through a tough time, man, I'd get my work in, and it wouldn't mean just, hey, I had a really good session today. It wouldn't mean it would just translate to the field automatically. So I have to remember those times and not think I need instant results right now. It's the big leagues. It's hard when you're working on issues and you're not seeing the ball well. You're not in a good place. We're all there as hitters. And now in a coaching position or a mentoring position, I expect, oh, he worked really good. That'll translate to the field. But realistically, it doesn't. It's not that easy. That's why hitting, especially at this level, is probably the hardest thing to do in sports. But you got to keep going. You got to keep going. You got to keep going. Eventually, it will click, and the offense will click. Sometimes it takes one guy to do something, and it sparks another guy. We're getting our big guy today with Corey Seager back. That, if not anything else, that really helps our psyche as a team. All right, our big guy's back. Put him in the middle of the lineup. His mere, and whether he gets any hits today or not, the mere presence of Corey Seager gets that unit. And right now, they need a little adrenaline push. Last night was a huge win. You know, our bullpen came in and did such a great job. And to get the big hit late with 2 strikes with JJ, those are things, man, that gets JJ going a little bit. And it's contagious. You know, hitting, it's so funny because I've watched from afar for so long, and it's always that hitting coach or that pitching coach, and I just laugh and go, you realize it's the players that do it and the players that not. These aren't A-ball players. We're not an instructional ball molding clay and helping shape the player you're going to be. These are finished products. These are guys that have won a World Series. And you don't do that. You go about it in a tactical way. And the bottom line is just something. If I can give them something that day to help them have a better at bat, then I did my job. But when it's all said and done, these guys win games, these guys lose games. And my influence, very little, but if I could be very little, that's enough for me.
Well, that was my next question. Give our listeners an idea, Brett, of like if it's a football coordinator, they'll say, I'm going to give them piece by piece, not everything up front of the playbook, 20% here, 30% there. How much have you been able to implement of your style, of your approach, of your ideas? Do you feel comfortable enough that you've gone totally all in? Are you still figuring guys out with the personalities? The Brett Boone offensive philosophy has been unveiled to what degree?
I think 80%, 90%. You know, I have my thing. I have to be very careful sometimes in how I project what I'm trying to say to guys, because I have these especially the young players on the team, they've come up in a different generation. You know, a lot of things are a little bit different to me. We used to go on the field, we hit 12 guys. I think it's good for the soul to get out there and hit as a team, to get, you can get on one another as you're hitting. You're talking about today's game, you're talking, and there's a unseriousness to the point where I try to tell the guys, I said, listen, let's pretend we're on the PGA Tour and it's Sunday. They're not going to the range to work on their game. They're going to the range to get loose and get ready for their Sunday round. That work, that prep, you're working on swing changes, that happens behind the scenes. But when we get out on the field and we're getting close to game time, this is just getting loose for our swings. We got to feel good, clear our mind as much as we can. So little stuff like that. My philosophy isn't like groundbreaking, you know, crazy stuff. It's move the runner. It's get the runner in. It's with two strikes. Let's have some real, it's very important right now. Let's know where we're at. We're in this two strike count. Let's put this ball in play. My stuff isn't crazy. It's let's talk to our teammates during the game. Let's watch the game. Let's be prepared for each and every at bat, not just the game in general or this series in general. It's at bat to at bat, and it's individualized. You know, Adolis Perez or Adolis Garcia might have a completely different mindset and thought process going into this game as a Wyatt Langford, as a Sam Haggerty. But my thing is, it doesn't matter. You're big leaguers. You're established big leaguers. Whatever your approach is or your mindset going into each every at bat, let's have one. That's it. They all don't have to be the same. My approach might be different than player B and player C, but I have a big league approach to this at bat. That's what I'm getting at. Have whatever your approach is, get it ready, and let's do it at bat to at bat. Second time through the lineup versus first time through the lineup based on what happened on the first time through the lineup. So these guys are certain. They're very open to it. I'm getting to know these guys better. I know their personalities. I have a better relationship with them now than I did a week ago and than I did 2 weeks ago. And it's an ongoing process. But I keep saying process, process, process. This doesn't just turn around in 2 or 3 weeks. This is a long-term thing. I look at just the makeup of this team, not only what they've done they did in 23, but the quality of our starting rotation is tremendous. It's one of the best in baseball. I look at the bullpen. We're a little beat up in the bullpen. We've got guys on the way that are going to be coming back from injuries. Hopefully Martin's able to come back. These are key components to our bullpen. And then you look at the offense. The offense has really struggled and struggled for a long time since that World Series victory, but it's in there. It's in there. The guys know it. It's not like everybody got old and forgot how to hit. Just you kind of lose your way sometimes. And they come to me and, Boone, you ever felt like this? I said, of course. I felt every emotion you've ever felt. I tell them stories about my career. 2001 start to finish, I didn't have a bad stretch. I look at my first half of 02, it feels like I can't get a hit. All of a sudden, the second half of 02, I go crazy and have a great time. The next year was start to finish pretty good. So I know the ebb and flows of hitting and struggling and being at the top of the mountain, being at the bottom of the mountain. So it's what I could do in a small way to just kind of share my journey and my struggles, because we all do it. We all go through it. You know, I used to look at the guys that I just thought, man, what would it be like when I used to watch Barry Bonds? I said, I wonder what it's like never to have a rough year. You know, your worst year, you're still an all-star. I said, man, that would be, I think it's kind of unrealistic for the masses and for us normal people. But I always used to think that, man, it must be nice to never go home. Like my worst year is 280 with 28 homers and 97 ribbies. And man, was I at the bottom of the barrel. You know? But that's not reality. And there are a handful of people in history that have ever been able to do that. But we're grinding. It was a great win last night. And like I said, we got a day off Thursday. We've been playing a lot of games in a row too. If we can get a win tonight, a series win, go into that day off and just kind of reset. And that's what we need right now, is a little reset. But guys are working hard. But yeah, that look on my face, it's I want it so bad. I can't do anything about it. I have so lack of control that I've never had before in my life. And I want it for these guys so bad. And once again, you're just living and dying with these guys every day, especially when the times get a little bit tough.
Brett Boone, Rangers hitting coach, joining us here 105 through the Fan. I was at Monday's game, and you could see Gausman's, you know, pitch count was very, very low. Early count, right. Early count attacking. When you see that, when a team is swinging early in the count, his pitch count's low, he's got a lot of strikes, is that a game plan? Like, you're going in, trying to get to him early, not getting into pitcher's counts, or was he just peppering the strike zone and they saw pitches to hit?
Say, Gausman, he's been pitching really good lately. And the thing with him is he puts that split at the bottom of the zone. He just will not hang it. Once again, this is an individual thing. For a player like myself, when I see a Gausman and I know he's going to go fastball split, well, I'm going to try to eliminate that fastball at first at bat. If I can barrel up a fastball, that gets me into my second at bat.
He got up. He just didn't take off the headset. He got up.
He's done.
Take it off the headset.
Something came
unplugged.
Unplugged. He saw it. And grabbed it.
It happens.
This guy, though, I said this after last week, he is talking even better. He was good before.
Yeah.
But I was worried when he got hired by the team, we're going to get minimal coach speak answers.
Yeah.
And he is unleashing even more without giving away secrets.
Right.
Like, he's even, if we sat down with him to watch a game, you would be in baseball heaven.
Oh, for sure.
A three and a half hours could go just like that.
I bet. Look, I mean, we've always kind of thought that they make it, a lot of the coaches, with the coach speak, they make it more secretive and complicated than it really is. I think when he's taking the approach, like, everybody knows what everyone's trying to do anyway. You know, nobody wants to get into an 0-2 hole in baseball.
Right.
You know, no pitcher wants
to
get
2-0. Yeah, but what I did think is revolutionary nowadays is moving a guy over. Is having a sacrificial at bat. Is going the other way.
A team at bat.
Because everything has been hit it over the fence.
Exactly.
A team at bat. And I'm a little surprised that everyone should have that same approach, right? But he's saying it can be different for everyone.
Yeah, because you got to also play to their strengths. So some guys, so let's see, who I can't remember who was up. It was for Toronto. It was on Monday. There was runners on first and second. And it was like, all right, the conventional thing was say, all right, bunt this guy over. But you can't just bunt somebody who's never bunted before over.
Right? Same Brett Butler up here.
Right? If you try.
You don't know that, Bobby.
Not only are you giving Brett away Butler the at-bat.
You know who he is?
Yeah.
Give me the team.
He's Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, very nice.
I was thinking Dodgers.
And he's also Dodgers, too.
Yeah.
I was also thinking Grace Under Fire.
Yeah, absolutely, Grace Under Fire. But yeah, like, you can't, like, it depends on who's up. You can't, well, first of all, you can't just have anybody bunt, right? I mean, that's not, it's not going to work.
Yeah, but a hit the other way.
Hit the other way.
Runner over, going opposite field.
Mm-hmm.
Is that supposed to be 1-9 now in your mind when the situation calls for it? So there's Brett Boone, stressed as hell. You can see it during the TV broadcast every Wednesday with us on DFW Sports Station. Talk to him in the commercial break, Choppy. Right. As we get ready, Kevin Hagelin, he called the Stars' demise. He doesn't want to brag about it, but we got to talk to him about it. Crosstalk with KNC next.
Left circle, Nugent Hopkins drags in front. Tapped home, Corey Perry. Power play goal. The Oilers regain the lead. 2-1.
Yep. You know how it ended. What, you like this song?
This is a good song. What do you think is the worst song of all time?
Any one of these guys' catalogs?
Barbie Girl.
Their catalog by Aqua.
You shut your mouth.
No, that's a great song. What?
It's a great song.
Barbie Girl's a terrible song? No, that's a great song.
The one, I'm a Barbie Girl.
Yeah,
Barbie.
He says that's the worst of all time.
Amazing social commentary that was ahead of its time.
The worst song of all time is Rock Lobster. Everybody knows that. It's the worst.
But the Barbie one, I could see how that is a nominated for terrible.
Yeah. Man, it was catchy as hell.
It can be really annoying.
Brass Monkey's not annoying? They're literally screaming with, like, their, like, half Cockney accents or
the
whatever
bass
they
sounds
got.
Sounds so good in any car, though.
I mean, there's plenty of other songs you can put on that have bass.
Bass around your neighborhood.
Why are you so happy?
I'm just jamming.
Hockey
to the
predictions, right?
No, I'm trying to overcome my sadness.
Yeah,
the Stars not knowing that a hockey game is three periods long.
Rock club stuff.
Are the Oilers superior or just a 49er type matchup? for the Stars. Just have their number. Or the Stars getting unlucky, really unlucky.
Yeah.
They're a better team than the Stars.
Yeah. Like
that's the reality. But they're a better team.
But I don't think it's as pronounced as the series would have it. But anyone who wants a counter and is like, no, it is. It's 3-1. I get it. I think Skinner's playing above his head. And I think that would obviously make this a significantly closer series. But I agree. It certainly looks like Edmonton is the better team.
Yeah, and Draisaitl's playing the way he did last year.
Yeah, their superstars actually show up.
Same thing that happened last year.
That's neat.
And I think Skinner is definitely playing better. It's one of those, like, Elvis was really good at hitting in Cleveland. And why does it, whenever he, Vlad Guerrero destroyed the Rangers whenever he played against us. My favorite player. Still beat us all the time. For some reason, when he sees that green jersey, he's like, all right, we're good tonight.
So you're the great Jim Neal, and you're looking down on this. And you're just thinking, what's missing? And you have an off-season move to make. That would be?
Coach that could win the Stanley Cup.
Oh, no.
Wow.
I think.
I love the hot takes,
Kevin. I think you're off base there. I mean, he technically hasn't won the Stanley Cup. So, that doesn't mean he can't.
I don't know if that's technically. I mean, that's
No, it's just, you don't have to add technically. Right. It is a fact.
Just because he hasn't won doesn't mean he can't. But right. Dan Marino can't win the Super Bowl. He's already retired.
Okay. That's fair.
That's fair.
So educate me on, like, coaching, not mistakes, but just adjustments that aren't being made or what you think could be a coaching problem that's happened in the series.
Yeah, I'm sure some people will reflect on some of the line changes. I don't really have as much of an issue with that. And I just want to say for the record, I don't actually think Pete DeBoer is going to get fired. But I do wonder if you're going to get to the point. And that's one of the things that, like, has haunted Pete DeBoer's career. This is now 6 straight Western Conference Finals, I believe he's been in. He's gotten fired twice along the way because the knock on him was the pre-Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid of like, oh, yeah, no, he'll get you there. You just won't win.
Okay.
Look, I think that, and I'm not smart enough to know this. This is somebody that would have to do a deep dive into this. Maybe Bobby could do one. But
he just called you smart.
Perhaps smarter than him.
Perhaps their greatest strength is their greatest weakness.
Not that smart.
If the Stars are a little bit, like, because, like, they're getting out physical a lot of times. They got doubled and getting hit. Maybe their greatest strength, all the fins, is also their greatest weakness, and they're just not tough.
Because fins are soft.
Yes, they are. Yes, I'm just saying.
You thought you were in here.
Anybody from the Scandinavia?
Draymond,
you know,
Choppy.
They're just, yeah. You know what? Maybe we need Draymond. We need Nico come in here and say, listen, let's stop getting European players. We're going to Canada.
Train all the white boys.
We're going to go to Canada. We're going to get Americans, and we're going to tough it up.
I'm with Chop on this, honestly. Like,
are you?
Did you not see what happened in the
Trade
Four Nations?
The white guys?
The Finnish teams got destroyed in the Four Nations.
Because they're skilled.
Yeah.
They're super skilled. The Stars are probably the most skilled team in the league. But they just don't.
I don't think I agree
really?
With that.
Really? Okay, fine. All right. Kachuk comes in here and he lays it on the table.
You don't think Edmonton is more skilled than Dallas?
Not top to bottom.
Or the Phoenix Coyotes?
At the top, yes. But not top to bottom.
But they're tougher. And that's the thing that he's saying is, if I'm going to add something, like, Mason Marchment has size and hits people, but he's mostly clumsily falling into people. And so, like, that's, I need somebody.
So you're saying they're like the Cowboys a little bit. They need to muck it up. They need to get a little nastier.
I need some.
I can see
and
that.
And I hate saying it, but Corey Perry is the kind of person who used to be here, who's an agitator that irritates the crap out of everybody and isn't going to back down to anybody, and we need somebody.
Who's the agitator on the Stars?
Jamie Benn is
Where's Jamie Benn from?
The enforcer.
I mean, he's North America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
we're going back to that.
This is still part of your anti-Scandinavia.
Get rid of Scandinavia.
RJ Scandinavia.
Really,
point.
I really thought we were going a different direction.
It's like, I know we're talking hockey. Let's go back to the xenophobia real quick.
You got to set the tone. You got to have somebody.
We're Jingo. Okay, it's more Jingoism on that one.
Well, that's better.
I don't even know what that really means. I just saw the word one time.
I don't, and I don't. obviously, I'm still delusional and I'm still holding out hope that they win tomorrow and you can win in game seven and all you got to do is figure out a way to win in game six and I don't know, actually give a damn in the first period. That's not fair. Score a goal in the first period. They looked awesome in the first period yesterday, except for not scoring a goal. But I don't want this to all sound like hindsight because at the trade deadline, it was awesome that they got Rantanen. But what we really wanted was a more physical defensive presence. And they passed on that maybe because the right deal wasn't available or they didn't have the assets. But at the trade deadline, we were like, that is a mistake.
And it's been that way for years where we've been asking for that piece. And then they were like, let's add Cody Ceci, who's pretty good offensively. Yeah, and let's also add Granlund, who, I mean, was the main reason he got here. They added those things, but that's not enough. That wasn't enough.
Corey, what's coming up on the show?
Guys, we do have Bruce Bochy joining us at 12:30 today, and North Texas SC's head coach, Bruce John Gall, will join us at 1:30.
Do you want us to just ask
you guys gonna
modern
have
slang questions to him?
Yeah, so this is Bruce Bochy. Emily Jones, I think, said, hey, drop some new school terms in your press conference if you guys win, and this is Boch.
Jacob Latz, the performance he gave you tonight.
Oh, he was busting, wasn't he?
He was busting.
No, well, I mean, what a job.
That means, like, doing really well, right?
Don't look at me.
Bussing, awesome.
Yeah, this
awesome.
Food is bussing, Dad. Okay. Yeah.
It's bussing.
So maybe put Dad on
like, can you work one more new school phrase or term into an answer?
You want me to ask, like,
in your interview.
Did he lose a bet and they're like, hey, now you need to do this? Or is
he
this
wants to connect
a
with
bit?
The young people.
Okay. All right.
All right. The national days today are inspiring your meals.
Perhaps today is national hamburger day.
Hamburger?
National beef burger day. It just says beef burger.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Because we don't want those BS nonsense burgers in that.
It's also national brisket day.
What?
You can't have two. You can't have two.
Separate days.
Especially two really great things. Why would you make them share a day?
It's also national flip-flop day, and I'm a big fan of flips.
Worst form of footwear there is.
What?
By far.
Why?
It's the worst form.
Oh, Corey almost hit you with his.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that before.
He hit you with, was that flip or flop?
Explain.
I just think they're. I hate wearing them. I can't explain. I don't know. I hit the little smack on the back of your foot as you're walking and everything. I just hate them.
That's how I know Corey's here.
Don't your feet feel free?
No.
I love it.
I think you're scared of your feet.
I take it back. Slides are worse.
Slides. I think you're insecure about your toes.
No, I will literally walk around. I'm the one who will walk around here like without my shoes on. I don't care.
But not without your socks.
Well, that's just because it'd be weird to take my socks off after
that.
Yeah,
what's up with your feet, Bobby?
Super. You're
nothing wrong with them.
Are you like Frodo? You're like Frodo.
No, show us your toes. Sit down. Take off your right sock.
Mark that. I want that as a drop forever.
Easy there, Rex.
Get a zoom in, please, on these toes. There's got to be something. Choppy, I need you to get closer and analyze.
I got you.
No, they're just, hold on. Do I stand up on here?
I wouldn't stand on that.
Yeah, I wouldn't stand on that.
I think you're going to fall through.
Don't. Put my foot up
here. Just raise your foot up.
Okay.
Chop, give us the analysis.
Oh, wow.
Are they?
Hey, right here.
Get that microphone.
Right. Oh, he just snapped it.
You got me?
Yep.
Check 1, 2. That is a wildly hairless foot. I have never seen anything.
Bobby has a hairless foot?
This is the most hairless foot I have ever come across in my life.
Modern foot.
Fungus, toenail fungus, though, for sure. That toenail is going to, you're losing that toenail. That is a different color than anything I've seen. No, get your hands off me.
Oh, no.
Are you embarrassed? You could make a salad with all those croutons.
Oh, you know what?
All right, not bad.
The bottom looks better than mine. Way better.
I'm stunned. Well, my socks on.
What's that one, too?
What's that?
What?
Yeah.
But it's National
Beef
Burger.
Back to xenophobia.
National Beef Burger Day.
Are you a hamburger and not a cheeseburger guy? Is that one of your tastes?
I like hamburgers. Cheeseburger. I mean,
you don't want the cheese?
It's just, it gets
why?
Too, it's just too,
too what? Too good?
No, yes. it's
who gets a hamburger unless you're lactose?
I feel like the overdone, the salt, the cheese just doesn't mix well. I don't like it.
It's too salty.
Yeah, I just don't like it.
So cheese is too salty, marinara is too spicy. What other stomach takes do you have?
He is white.
I am white. Very well.
We remove color from the cross.
I am Mediterranean, sir.
Okay. We remove color.
So that makes everything you said earlier okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, no. No. Wait, no. We're just making fun of white people in Scandinavia. That's not it. But here we go. Pretzel bun.
On the burger?
Are you yay or nay on the pretzel?
Nay, way too dense. Nay.
Pretzels give me a brioche every time.
Brioche?
Brioche.
Hot pretzels suck.
The one thing is, if I'm going to do a pretzel bun, the good thing is it doesn't get soggy. So if you have like a super greasy
they can't.
Burger,
it's only
good on the turkey O'Toole. The turkey O'Toole that Bennigan's had. That with that pretzel bun with the turkey and the honey butter and the, that was the way to go.
Okay.
Yeah. But other than that, no, with the hamburger, I'm out on the pretzel bun.
And everyone's doing the smash burger now.
They are.
That's true. Have you made those?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Have you done the Oklahoma smash? That's the one I see everybody talking about now.
No, what?
That's the one with like onions smashed into it while being cooked. And then it like
Oklahoma's trying to claim that?
No.
That's a smash burger.
I'm telling you, no. Google it up. Oklahoma smash is like a variation on it that's like very particular to the way you cook the onions into the, like you cook the onions into the meat. And it's like considered, that's the one that all the food channels on YouTube and stuff now are all over. Is like, this is the best burger you can eat.
Bobby, have you ever had an Oklahoma smash?
No.
No. I think most of our listeners have.
I don't know. I would think not.
I have.
Do Oklahoma girls have a, what's their?
They have a clinic reputation.
Adrian went to OU.
Jeez. You know what? I think it's now time to abort.
What?
Oh, my God.
Abort the conversation.
I can't.
Politics.
I can't do this with you guys. I can't.
Societal social issues, not politics.
Not that state.
Payton, hit the button.